We hear again from our epistle reading in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the name of Jesus. Our Lord gives his promises to the sinner. He cleanses the sinner. He makes righteous the unrighteous. He's the ultimate gift giver. He's the ultimate promise keeper and promise giver. He freely, graciously, and abundantly gives to us, to those whom he has purchased with his own blood. He not only creates us through his word of promise of the gospel, recreates us, sustains us, he nourishes us, and he keeps us. He finishes what he begins. He gives again and again and again. So much so that his words of promise or his gospel are always the gifts that he keeps giving again and again. They aren't measurable. Instead, they're poured out immeasurably. They don't make sense to us. That's why Paul keeps using the phrase in Romans 5, much more, and much more, and more than that, when he's speaking about God's gifts in Christ for us. So just when you think it can't get any better, God gives even more, much more. Jesus used something that doesn't make sense to us and said 70 times 7. We can't quantify it, in other words. He does all this not for the good or the godly person, but he does it for the sinner. He does it for you, the ungodly. He gives his gifts to you while you're still a sinner. Our Lord doesn't wait till you've gotten it together or shown a little effort or polished yourself up just a little bit. He doesn't wait for you to do your part so that he can finish what you've begun. He doesn't justify or make clean the one in whom he sees some sort of potential or some sort of hope down the road. But rather, St. Paul tells us that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God shows us his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And during the season of Lent, while we're still here in our sinful flesh, we can actually often and regularly, we get it all wrong. We get it backwards. We can reverse things and wrongly flip them around and make the gospel, his gifts, about our doing or our restraint or self-control or our law-keeping, our own efforts to make ourselves righteous. The old Adam or sinful flesh always turns gifts into earnings, grace into some strange form of karma. But Jesus tells the crowd and his disciples this in Mark 8. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." For while we would like to make Lent and every season and every service for the church about us and what we do, Jesus came here on earth in the flesh to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He came to die on a cross and rise again for us. So to be clear, even the denying of ourselves that Jesus speaks of is not some form of monastic living where we do this or that, refrain from this and that, or follow some sort of pious regimen in order to justify ourselves. But Lent truly looks to Jesus, who is heading to Jerusalem as the Lamb of God who bears our sin, who bears your sin. He's come to take up his cross and destroy sin, death, and the devil for you, to give his victory to you. So denying yourself or losing your life, as Jesus puts it, is ceasing various means of self-justification. It's confession. I, a poor, miserable sinner. It's confessing that you can't fix what's broken in you and the world around you because of original sin. And instead, as our gradual says, we look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. So Lent is actually about being repented by the Lord himself and being cleansed by this Jesus who goes to Jerusalem to die for you. It's about death or the drowning of our old man, the one who always turns the gospel or God's gifts and promises into law and turns receiving from our Lord into our own doing and working. So while we're still trying to justify ourselves, therefore despising the Lord's promises, while we're even enemies of God, Jesus dies for you and for me. He didn't wait until we got better, because we'd never get better. He didn't wait until we fixed our spiritual blindness, deafness, or deadness, because we can't do that. It's impossible. Rather, it's Jesus himself who is our healer, the one who absolves us. He's our righteousness, and he's our life. He speaks us clean and righteous with his word or his gospel of promise, delivering all that he's won for us to us. He washes us clean and pours out his own precious holy blood for us. He justifies us before the Father, so we're at peace with God and not at war any longer. Therefore, we walk and even stand, as St. Paul puts it, by faith, or by simply receiving all that he gives us in his promises. This way, even as we suffer in this world, we can rejoice. For God is with us and for us and not against us. In other words, even the struggles, the suffering we experience in this world becomes gift to us as Christ himself joins us in our weakness. He gives us the Holy Spirit and is our strength and all of our comfort. And we know that because of his demonstrated, ongoing, active love for us at the cross, where his blood was poured out to forgive us, any suffering we experience is never to destroy us. Because God's angry with us, but it is God's gift for our endurance, Paul says. It builds character and hope. These are more gifts that our Lord gives us. So as those who are purchased and loved by Christ himself, as sinners who've been cleansed, washed white as snow, we don't look at suffering as pointless or hopeless or even something that we're going to try and figure out. But we receive all from the Lord as gift for our benefit, from the hand of a Father who loves us as certainly as we are Christ's own. We've been baptized by him, given his name. In Christ we're made alive, so that through holy baptism we're joined to both his death and his resurrection. So any suffering, trials, hardship are only for a season. They're not eternal. For we look forward to the resurrection of the dead, and by faith we walk and are upheld by his promise to deliver us from all the evils of sin, death, and the devil. So we confess with St. Paul in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who was at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long, regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.